Amen. I want you to open your Bibles, please, in the book of Luke's Gospel and chapter number 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. We'll read a few verses at verse number 37. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and the verse 37. And it says this, "And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he, that is Jesus, had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of some such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye love the uppermost part seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." We'll end our reading there, and we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible word for his name's sake. Last Lord's Day evening, we were gathered round the word of God in the book of Daniel, and we were thinking about that great banquet that Belshazzar had with 1,000 of his lords. And now we're gathered around the word of God again tonight, and I want us to think about some of the occasions when the Lord Jesus Christ was invited to dinner. And you know, when we open the scriptures, especially in the book of Luke's gospel, you'll find that there are several occasions whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was invited into the home for to have a meal. Now, of course, in Eastern times, we find that it was considered a great honor to have a meal in the home of an official. But you know, sometimes the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was brought into the home, he wasn't brought in for the right reason. Sometimes the invitation was genuine, and other times it certainly was suspect. But I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening and just see some of the occasions here. And then we'll finally look in Luke's Gospel chapter 11. But look, first of all, in Luke's Gospel chapter 5. And there in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, in the verse number 27, it says, "And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And Jesus said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed Christ. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And so find here in Luke's Gospel chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ calls Levi, or Matthew. He was sitting there at the receipt of custom. And the Lord Jesus Christ called him. Do you know that call? There were three great things accomplished on that call of Matthew there sitting at the receipt of custom. First of all, thank God Matthew got saved that day. Thank God there was a salvation of a precious soul. And that's the first thing. He saved a soul that day. And then secondly, he not only saved a soul, but he added a disciple to his band, because Matthew followed the Lord and became a faithful disciple of the Lord. In actual fact, under the Spirit of God, he wrote that first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. And then thirdly, we find that because of Matthew's getting saved and becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, we find in the verse number 29, it says, Levi, that's Matthew, made him a great feast in his own house. And so we find the Lord Jesus Christ, there was a meal that was made for the Savior in honor of the Master, because Matthew desired that those that he had known, they would be introduced to the one that he was going to follow. My, that's a wonderful thing, to have a desire to reach others for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says this, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. That is the Lord Jesus. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Thank God Matthew wasn't ashamed of the one that he was going to follow. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so we find that neither was Matthew, because he put his faith and trust. He listened to the call of the master. Thank God. He rose up, the Bible says in verse 28, and he followed him. And praise God, he followed him. And he made a great feast for him. He loved the Lord. And he wanted to let the people know that he wasn't ashamed of the one that he was going to follow. And you know, that day something wonderful happened. Matthew's life was changed. He was never the same again. We sang the hymn tonight, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy flood my soul. And thank God, we bless the Lord in the truth that of that hymn writer, because Matthew could say, what a change in my life was wrought that day. His life was changed, and he made a great feast. He made a meal for the Savior, and he introduced the Lord Jesus Christ to his friends. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought of doing that? Have you ever thought of bringing others in with a desire to introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ? That was what Matthew was wanting. First of all, he wanted the Savior to come into his house, and he wanted them to come home with him. My, it's wonderful when you bring Jesus into your house, when the Lord Jesus Christ is the very present guest at every meal and the silent listener to every conversation. And Matthew brought Jesus into his house because Matthew opened his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day, his life was changed, and the Bible says he rose up and he followed Jesus. And I was wondering tonight, my friend, will you do the same? Will you this night follow Christ? Will you hear the call of the Savior? Jesus said, Matthew, follow me. And Jesus is saying to you tonight, why don't you take up your cross and follow him? Why don't you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank God Matthew got saved. And having got saved, thank God, he wanted to follow Christ. He became an immediate disciple. He rose up and he followed Christ. And he was a follower of the Savior. Ah, but he wanted his friends to know about Jesus too. He wanted to introduce his workmates, because it says there in that verse number 30, it says in verse number 29, and a great company of publicans. You see, Matthew sat at the receipt of custom, and a great company of publicans, it says, and of others sat down with them. Thank God it's good to be able to introduce your friends to the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a wonderful thing tonight. If you were to bring somebody to the house of God, friend, and bring somebody and they get gloriously saved, and to realize that God has given you a part of the winning of their precious, never-dying soul. Now then, turn with me, please. You notice the one other thing is this, that while Matthew's life was changed, my, the old scribes and Pharisees, they weren't much changed. Because it says in verse 31 and verse number 30, the scribes and the Pharisees, they murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? But praise God, his life was changed. They didn't understand the message of Christ. They didn't understand the ministry of Christ. But thank God Matthew did, because that day he got gloriously changed by the power of the gospel. Then turn to Luke's Gospel chapter 7. And in Luke's Gospel chapter 7, in verse number 36, it says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. Here's another time when the Lord Jesus Christ is having a meal in the home of a person. And it says, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. Now, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ accepted the hospitality of Simon here, the Simon who was the Pharisee, he's mentioned in the scriptures on down the passage of God's word. But you know, the Pharisees, the publicans and sinners, they were needed to be introduced to Christ too. And the Bible tells us that at this occasion, when Jesus sat down to the meal, it says a woman, look in verse number 37, behold a woman in the city which was a sinner. Thank God, it says, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment. You say, well, you know, did this woman just walk in off the street? That's right, she did. She just walked in off the street. And that's what they did there in Eastern times, because they were able, whenever there was a banquet being held, it was customary for outsiders to hover around whenever someone, especially some special guest, was having a meal. And they would hover around and they would watch, and they would also do something else. They would listen to all that was going on. Now, the Bible tells us this woman heard that Jesus was in the house. And you know, she wasn't invited to come, because in actual fact, Jewish rabbis would not speak to women in public. They wouldn't speak to them in public, because that was not done. In actual fact, not only would they not speak to them in public, rabbis wouldn't eat with them in public. And so therefore, this woman just walked in off the street and she hovered around. She heard that Jesus was in the house, and she was desirous to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus. So we find that this woman, she was, the Bible says there, which was a sinner. You know, friend, I don't know about what sin this woman had, but I'll tell you this, I believe that she was a notable woman in the city. I believe that she was a woman that lived a life of a harlot. I believe this woman was a woman that lived in the depths of sin. If you go down to verse number 47, it says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many. Her sins were many. Here was a woman that was laden in sin, and yet the Bible says she came to the feet of Jesus. You say, what is a woman doing that is laden with sin doing at the feet of Jesus? I'll tell you what she was doing. She was doing what Jesus told her to do. You know what the Word of God says? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And here was a woman that was heavy laden. You know what the Lord Jesus says? If you come to me, he says, I'll give you rest. And this woman came, and she had a guilty heart, because the Bible tells us that this woman washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. And she was a woman that lived in sin, but she had a guilty heart. I don't know how she heard about Jesus. I don't know who told her about the Savior, but she heard that Jesus was in the house and he was sitting there at meat. My, she said, I'm going to take the opportunity to come to the feet of Jesus. And she brought a very precious thing. She brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood behind the Savior at his feet. And the Bible says, she said in verse 38, she stood behind his feet weeping, crying with a broken heart. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you have a heavy heart. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to come to Jesus. You know, the Lord Jesus says, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. But he says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, listen, I'll give you rest. And that woman came in with a heavy heart. And I don't know what brought it about, but I'll tell you this, her heart was breaking. It was breaking over her sin. She stood behind the feet of Jesus, and then she knelt down. She started to cry. She started to weep over the feet of Christ, and she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. Maybe you're brokenhearted over sin. Maybe you're brokenhearted over tragedy in your life, friend, and you've tried to get comfort and you've tried to get rest. And you say to me, preacher, is there a place of rest? Thank God there is. Thank God at the feet of Jesus. Come unto me. That's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You say to me, preacher, but will he give me rest? Thank God, he says, come unto me, all ye, all ye. Thank God that takes you in tonight. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was invited into this meal, into this feast, to sit down in Simon's house. And there he sat at the meal in Simon's house. But you know, it wasn't Simon that came to Christ that day. It was the woman. Now, the interesting thing about, very quickly before we move on, look at verse number 39. And when the Pharisee which had bidden him, that Simon, when he saw it, when he saw the woman kneeling down at the feet of Jesus and wiping the feet of Jesus with her tears and wiping the tears away with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet. Verse 39, and when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He's murmuring. And he said this, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. And then he says this, for she is a sinner. Do you know the sad reality is this, friend? Simon could see that she was a sinner, but he couldn't see he was. He didn't see himself as one. And you know, it's very easy to see somebody else a sinner and not to realize that you're a sinner. And you say, well, somebody else needs to come to Christ. Friend, I'll tell you this, nobody else more than you. If you're not saved tonight, you need to come to Christ. And Simon said this, you know, if he was a prophet, he would have known, and I can hear him nearly saying it sneeringly and mockingly, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. I want to tell you about the story there in that passage of God's word. Listen, the first story, Matthew's life was changed, never to be the same again. In this story, thank God, this woman's life was changed, never to be the same again. Know what Jesus said to her? Verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. Look at verse 50. And then he spoke to the woman again. He said this, and he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. He said, go in peace. What did he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. Thank God that woman went home with peace in her heart that day, because her life was changed. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Let me ask you a question. Has your life been changed by the power of Christ? Have you come with your burden of sin to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you like Simon? For she is a sinner. Ah, yes, she's a sinner. Yet he didn't realize, Simon, you're a sinner. And so are you, friend. You're not saved tonight. If you die in your sin, you'll go to hell and you'll be lost for all eternity. But thank God that woman's life was changed. Then turn in your Bible to chapter 10 of Luke. And when you come to chapter 10 of Luke's gospel, and because of time, let's go quickly. Let's go down to verse number 38. It says, it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And the Bible tells us, yes, that Martha, it seems to be that, you know, there were three in that family. There was Lazarus, and there was Martha, and there was Mary. But Martha, notice it says, received him into her house. Now, Martha, I believe, was the eldest of the family. This seemed to be the family home, or at least it was Martha's home. Some suggest perhaps that Martha was a widow. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that Martha was a widow, but the Bible does tell me that Martha received Jesus into her house. And she wanted to make a meal, because the Bible tells me here, but Martha, verse 40, was cumbered about, much serving. She was making a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? So she was having a meal for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this home here, we find that there's Mary and there's Martha and there's Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is not spoken of here, but Mary and Martha is. Mr. Irwin preached a great message, I believe is one of the greatest messages of the whole 2 weeks, and that was when Mary at the feet of Jesus. And we find that Mary, first of all, sat at his feet listening to his word. And then Mary fell at his feet and she shared with him her woes. And then Mary came to Jesus' feet and she poured out her worship. You know, Mary wasn't a loafer. Don't you think that Mary was lazy and just letting Martha do all the works? Because in actual fact, notice the charge which Martha made. Look at verse number 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me? You see, before the Lord Jesus Christ had come to that home, Mary and Martha were busy together. They were working in the house. And this was the charge. She said, Mary hath left me. She was busy with me. She was working away with me. But, you know, Mary's no longer working anymore. You know, she made a charge against Christ, friend. You know what she said? She said, Lord, dost thou not care? Do you not care? You know, sometimes whenever troubles come into our lives, friend, maybe sometimes whenever you're going through valley experiences or you're going through lonely times, you feel nobody cares. Nobody cares. No, old devil says to you, you really doesn't matter whether you're part of a family of God or whether you're not. You know, nobody really cares. You just got to go on alone. And Mary sat at the feet of Jesus Christ. And Martha, she said, Mary hath left me. Lord, do you not care? You ever doubted the care of God, friend? Whenever things haven't been going well, maybe when the body's sick and frail, maybe when tragedy and death comes into your home or into your family, the devil whisper and say, you know, God doesn't really care. You know, she said to the Lord, she said, Lord, dost thou not care? Notice verse 41 what Jesus said. He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. See, Martha was the one that was actually full of care. The cares of this life. The wee verse over in 1 Peter says this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. There's two types of care there. There's your care. And that's what Martha had. She had a lot of cares. In actual fact, if you notice what the Lord Jesus said in verse 40, it says here, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. Do you see that word cumbered? It means wrapped up. She was distracted. Maybe there's something distracting you and going on with God, friend. Maybe something's distracting you in your Christian life. You're cumbered about. You're drawn around. You're wrapped up. And then in verse 41, Jesus says, Martha, thou art careful. The word there is anxious. You're fretting. You're full of worry. Is there somebody here tonight and that's you? You know, things are tough. And friend, let me tell you, life is tough at times. And there are times that the pathway seems lonely and it seems as if there's no one that's there. Nobody cares or understands what we're going through. And Jesus says, listen, Martha, thou art careful. You're anxious. You're fretting. You're worried. Then he said this. He says, not only art thou careful, he says, you're troubled. You're troubled, verse 41, about many things. You're disturbed. You're troubled in mind. You're disquieted. And the problem about Martha was this, friend. Listen, I believe with all my heart, Martha wanted to give her best, the best that she had to the Lord Jesus Christ. But her priorities were wrong. Her priority was wrong. Christ counseled Martha as to where her priorities need to be. Look at verse 42. He said, but one thing is needful, Martha. Here's the counsel of Christ. Here's Christ the counselor. And he says, Martha, there's one thing that is needful. There's one thing that's priority. It's missing in your life. And Mary hath chosen that good part. You see, sometimes we want to give God good. We want to be good for it. Listen, God wants you to have the best. And the Bible says, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, friend? Yes, you can have earthly things and have nothing. Because if that's all you have, when you die, you've got to leave them all behind. Thank God when you're saved, when you have Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Martha, first things first. Mary has chosen the good part. You see, the Savior was only going to be in that home for a wee while. And Mary wanted to give her best hours to the Lord. You know, life at best is very brief for him. You and I haven't long in this whole world. And God wants us to give us our all. Young man, give me the heart. Give me that heart. Oh, Martha, Martha, what's your name? Want to put your name in? Thou art careful. You're anxious. And you're troubled about so many things. And I believe there's people sitting in God's house tonight. And friend, let me tell you this. You're anxious about many things. Many things. Mary had chosen the better part. Because she gave the Lord first place. The Lord counseled her. I believe, thank God, Martha's life was changed that day. You say, how do I know? Well, in chapter 10, we find that Martha is complaining. She's actually doubting the care of God. She's so filled with anxiety. She's so busy. And she said, my sister has left me alone. Do you not care, Lord? Do you not care? She's now murmuring. She's now complaining. But when you go to chapter 12 of John's Gospel, and when you turn to chapter 12 of John's Gospel, you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus again. Let's just read verse 1. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. And Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now Mary, she took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And she anointed the feet of Jesus. This is a different scene, friend, than the earlier chapter about the woman anointing the feet, the alabaster box of ointment. And she anointed the feet of Jesus, and she wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odors of the ointment. There are no tears there. Mary was happy in the Lord. But here's the point. It says in verse 2, Martha served. She's not complaining anymore. Because that day, Jesus changed Martha's life. And he turned a murmuring spirit and a complaining spirit. Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me. She's left me to serve alone. Jesus counseled her that day. Thank God she was changed that day. And now in John's Gospel 12, she's serving again. No complaint. Do you know why? She's happy in the Lord. God wants us to be happy in the Lord. First scene. Yes. The first scene we find, indeed, Matthew's life was changed. In the second scene, this sinful woman's life was changed. In the third scene, Martha serving at the table, and her life is changed. Turn to Luke chapter 19 very quickly. And you'll read the story of Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus was on the road to the cross. He was passing through Jericho. And immediately as you read this chapter 19 in Luke's gospel, you'll find our attention is drawn to a wee man called Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus means righteous one. But I tell you, he didn't live up to his name. This was a man who was despised because he was not living the truth of his name. He was viewed as a renegade in the eyes of the Jews. But as far as the Lord was concerned, he was a precious soul. And this little man ran along the road and climbed up onto the tree. And Jesus was passing that way. Go to verse 5. And Jesus came to the place and he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. Jesus went home with him. He received him joyfully. You see, on this occasion, friend, the amazing thing was this. Christ invited himself to the home. And the amazing thing was this. Zacchaeus became the guest in his own house because Jesus was now his master. He was the Lord of the home. Let me ask you a question. Is Christ Lord of your home? Is he? Is the Lord Jesus the master of your life? I want to tell you that day, the Lord Jesus went home with Zacchaeus. Why? He received him joyfully. His life was changed. What a wonderful change in my life has been. The Bible says, listen to me carefully, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The last passage is Luke Gospel chapter 11, and we can only just speak with this to close. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 37, and as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. Here's the Lord Jesus in the home again at the table. And he went in and he sat down to meat. You know, many of the invitations that the master received, friend, let me tell you, they were genuine. But here was one was not. I believe that whenever this Pharisee asked the Lord Jesus home that day, it wasn't a sincere offer of hospitality. I believe that they were desiring to try to interrogate and to mock the Savior. He invited him home. And you'll find there were three types of people there. There were the Pharisees, there were the scribes, and there were the lawyers. If this man had been earnest, if he had got a burden on his heart, I want to tell you this, he would have talked to the Lord alone. But whenever this man brought Jesus home, he had the lawyers there, he had the scribes there, he had the rest of the Pharisees there. They were there to try to pick fault in Jesus. And Jesus walked into that home. Now, he knew exactly what was going on. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in verse 38, quickly, when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that Jesus had not first washed before dinner. Now, let me tell you this, what that meant. Washing before dinner wasn't a casual washing of the hands and say, could I mind you please go to the bathroom? Of course, in those days, there would have been none. But it wasn't a casual washing. What had to be done was very particular. Every detail had to be particularly done. You washed your hands in a certain way. And you also washed your hands between courses. You couldn't have one course and then carry on. No, you had to wash your hands again. And they would have large stone vessels that were specially kept for the purpose of washing your hand, because ordinary water might have been unclean. And the amount of water had to be right too. And the manner of washing had to be right. The washing had to be, first of all, they had to pour it over their hands, beginning at the tips of the fingers, and then continuing right up to the wrist. And then the palm of the hands, they had to be cleansed by taking the palm or the other hand, the fist of the other hand, and rubbing it in. And then you had to do it likewise. It wouldn't be done right. And what had happened was this. When they saw that Jesus walked past this, he murmured. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to that man that day, because they had added, the Pharisees had added on these things. And just the same today, the church, organized churchianity, has added rituals, and it becomes religion. Not salvation, religion. And you could be here tonight, friend, and you can have all the rites and the rituals of the church, and you can have a soul that's going to hell, and you're lost for all eternity. And Jesus Christ, and I haven't time to go into this now, but six times the Savior cried, woe. Three to the Pharisees, three to the lawyers. Pharisees and scribes, the woes of God upon them. They were concerned about the outside, and the inside was rotten. When you've come to God's house, and to prepare for God's house, you say, I have come to God's house clean. You have washed the outside. Listen to me carefully as I close. Is thy heart right with God? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. And you can have all the outside forms of religion exact and die and go to hell because your heart's not right with God. Each of these homes, the Savior was outside the door. The sad reality is this. You read Luke chapter 11 and no lives were changed. Levi's life was changed. The sinful woman's life was changed. Ah, yes, Martha's life was changed. Zacchaeus' life was changed. But here was a home, and no life was changed. Why? Because they didn't invite the Savior in with sincerity. It was only to find fault against the Master. Is your heart right with God tonight? Are you saved? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I pray in Jesus' precious name that somebody, somewhere in this service tonight, or someone listening in on the airwaves tonight, will have that earnest desire for their lives to be changed. That they'll come heavy laden by sin, broken hearted, over sin. Repentant over sin. And turn to Christ. Oh God, save them tonight. As your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, friend, if you want the Lord to change your life, praise God, He will. As many as receive Him, to them give He the power to become the sons and the daughters of God. I'm closing in prayer. I'm going to the minister's room. Dear anxious soul, don't go away without Christ. Come and meet us there. Slip around the side of the building to the door at the side or in through the doors of the front. Don't go away without Christ. Let the Lord change your life tonight and your destiny. Start for heaven and home. Heavenly Father, separate as we are blessing. Bring souls to your Son. Spirit of God, draw them to Jesus. We ask it in His lovely name.